Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week, and it's Wednesday. So traditionally, three old guys. But it's a special, special day. So right now, around the mics, we actually have two old guys, one guy who's older, another guy who is famed for playing Uniracers, and a radiant young mother talking about old games. Today, Original Flavor Wednesday, we've reached the end. We are at IGN's number one ranked of all time Super Nintendo games.
It's the last episode. Last episode of Tadpog. Tyler really didn't want me to tell that joke because he's worried you're going to unsubscribe. So that's everybody listening, that's a joke. It's not actually the last episode of Tadpog, but
so now it'd be funny if it was because we insist it's not, and then we end it.
I get in a horrific traffic accident on the way home, and it is the last Tadpog.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I assume that you would
I drove him here, so I really hope that's not the case.
You survived, but barely. Oh, your life's not worth living.
We're in a pretty good mood. We've been talking for a while before we finally started recording.
You wrestle for the rest of your long life, like my death. Like, was it your fault? Was it not your fault? It's one of those. Kind of thing. And then, but like the rest of your life is really prosperous, but you feel guilty about it because it's like you find out that it's situationally all the prosperous things in your life is because I'm dead, and you realize your life would have been better if I'd have died earlier.
Yeah, I see this happening now. You feel guilty about Dave's death, so you take over as co-host of Tadpog. Tadpog just takes off. Right. You get like all these sponsors.
Taco John's is like, oh shit, how do we miss this?
Ludacris convinces Taco John's to come on board. He sits in consistently as the third host.
Ludacris becomes the new John. He's on every Wednesday.
Tell us about filming Fast and Furious.
And one older gentleman, Ludacris. Talk about old games.
Two old guys in a rap mogul. Talk about old games.
John, you don't need to feel bad about this. You're living for two. You're living for Dave.
Thank you for trying to bail this out just a little bit.
I haunt your ass. I haunt your ass in your sleep.
Oh, yeah. I know you would.
Oh, I would. Yeah. I'd be like, I see you fucking. I see you fucking. I'd be like,
I'm sorry.
You just, that coming in from the baby monitor. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I'm a real country ghost too. I see you fucking.
Are you the ghost or is my dad the ghost?
I'm Randy as a ghost, John, and I see you fucking. Confucius say fuck her harder.
Oh man, shit.
So John Turley's on the show.
Meg looks thoroughly disgusted, so I feel like we're off to a really good start.
It's the Randy thing. What's it?
That's going to stick with you.
Yeah, next time, coming through the baby monitor. Gotta shake that off.
You're going to walk in and give the baby monitor a dirty look.
Holy shit. What happened to the baby monitor? I don't know.
Ectoplasm. It must
have fell off the table.
This is going to be a good episode. Yeah, it's going to be good. This one's going to top cereal. This is the one.
So on iTunes, the top 10 podcast, it's all cereal and then the Legend of Zelda Tadpog. So John Fairley, Josh Nance, and Megan Holland. Meg doesn't actually have a mic, so she'll probably be leaning over into mine or Josh's mics whenever she has
input. Whose mic do you like better?
Tyler's.
She's more used to this. My mic.
His windscreen is larger.
He does have a fancier mic. It is a big. Now actually, the head of my mic's a little bigger than Tyler's. So I'm just. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just
pointing out a fact. Just pointing out a fact.
Just if you were a cat, it'd be harder to pull back out. That's all. All right, so The Legend of Zelda. We talked about different intro stories. What kind of intro? Are we going to do these group intro?
Or I want to do a group intro.
We're talking about how much our parents don't care about us.
Yes.
Oh. Well, mainly just you, right?
No. All of us, because you were telling the
story. All of our parents did not care about us.
Because you were telling the story, John, about being in the car, crawling around like a hamster in a cage, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no seatbelt. Like, you know, standing in the floorboard of the back seat, playing with G.I. Joe's on the back seat. And then, like, later when I got a little older, I remember I was taking road trips and stuff, and I would be with the back seat folded down, like a roughshod bed made back there with my legs in the trunk. I thought it was the greatest fucking thing ever.
Oh, it was. Because I did that shit, too.
Like, the back of that, like, 1984 Grand Marquis was huge.
I bet it was.
It was like, it was like being in a room.
I don't know cars, but it sounds big.
Nah, an 84 Grand Marquis, that's a big car.
I mean, the name is Grand Marquis.
Well, you're married to Tyler, so you know Grand. Big. You just don't know Grand Marquis. that was a dick joke.
Or you know I love to buy spacious vehicles.
Luxurious.
Bitches love my spacious vehicles.
Bitches don't know about my spacious vehicles.
I remember, what was that car you had? One of the first cars you had. I remember your dad saying, Tyler, you're going to get so much pussy in that car.
Oh, it was my Toyota Celica.
Oh, yeah. That Randy voice. Dude, a Celica is not a car you're going to get a lot of pussy in the back of.
Maybe once.
You know what we call this? You know what we call this? Pussy getting car.
Wow, I can't believe
that's the one and only time I've ever heard him say pussy.
I was fixing to say, like, I can't imagine from what I've heard about Randy him ever saying that.
Thanks, Ghost Dave.
My dad turns around and I see like a 3/6 Mafia CD in his back pocket.
I think my parents were worried about me because I used to like to lay on the hump. I would like to lay on the hump and just feel those wonderful vibrations of the car moving down the road.
Okay, the hump in the back floorboard.
Oh yeah, do those exist still? I haven't been in the back of a car for a while.
Well,
mine does.
I think some of them still have that.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that there? Does anybody know?
Probably because of the drivetrain going through. I know
it's like a car. It's not a train.
On older cars, it was there because the engine, like a lot of them were rear-wheel drive. So you had the engine, then the transmission went back, and then the transaxle attached to.
Whatever was under there was magical, and it felt
man,
like.
I didn't come here to learn.
When I was an 8-year-old boy, I was actually a 16-year-old girl.
Dave's pretending that hump's a Sibian again. Somebody get him up.
No, he's fine.
I'll just leave him alone. Just let him back there.
Best to just let him finish.
I really wanted to talk about our parents not giving a fuck about us stories because, Meg, you had mentioned that you were talking about slumber parties, and it blew my mind.
Oh, yeah.
In high school and middle school, I had co-ed slumber parties. I don't.
What?
I still can't wrap my mind around that.
I would ask my parents. I would say I would give them a big list of like people I was gonna invite over. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna invite over, you know, Hillary and Liz and Chris and Matt, and they'd just be like, okay.
Did they even say like, don't fuck any of those boys that you said? Because like my parents definitely would have been like, please don't fuck any of those girls.
Nope, they never said anything. All right. They just said, okay, just stay in the living room.
Maybe they just really trusted you was probably the thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't having sex with them.
So it wasn't completely
just butt stuff. Still a virgin.
Yep. No audience. That was not me. That was not my high school experience.
The Southern Baptist virgin, where it's just right. strictly yeah. anal.
Again, not my right. personal.
This is not
experience.
No, not men. Not
no,
men.
Just some girls that won't be.
No,
named.
But I will tell you what we did do.
Oh,
sort of naughty. We watched Cinemax.
Shit.
Late at night.
Skinamax.
Yeah. Catch some porkies.
We did that. We were pretty hardcore. Also, sometimes, I mean, by sometimes I mean once or twice, we drank apple pucker.
Holy shit. You were a fucking rebel. I didn't drink until my first beer at work.
Oh my God. I think I remember your first mm-hmm. beer.
Because I remember.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully he won't mind me saying this. Statutes of limitation are probably way over. I'm an old guy now. But I remember Ian being like, "You want a beer?" And I think it was like 15. I was like, "I've never had one before."
Here you go.
Sure. Should I clock out? No.
We're on 13th Street. The fucking projects were literally across the street.
You sound like you worked at the quarry or something.
The server quarry.
You know, just smashing rocks with a sledgehammer.
Drinking a beer.
We were sandwiched between the projects yeah. and the police department.
Yeah. literally one block this way, police department. One block this way, projects.
And I remember drinking that beer outside of Apex on the steps within eyeshot of the police station. And I remember thinking, I'm pretty badass right now.
you were.
we have peaked.
What was funny, though, is I remember the guy that we worked with, Corey, he got freaked out because of a practical joke that Brandon of Axelay fame played on him. And he got so freaked out that he thought somebody was like, gunning for him
because Brandon like mutilated that fucking baby doll.
Yeah, he took a baby doll and mutilated it, put fucking like fake blood on it, and wrote red rum on the forehead or some shit. Left it by his car. So I mean, you know, legitimately would freak somebody out a little bit.
And didn't someone had beef with Corey too? I think.
Yeah. There were some issues with some girl that I think Corey was dating and a boyfriend. So he immediately went there, and so he walks to the police station and is like, "Hey, somebody left this by my car." There was, by the way, nobody in the police station. A dispatcher, that's all. Like, there were cars there, just a dispatcher. It literally took like 15 or 20 minutes for a cop to get to the police station.
I remember him freaking out about that, and I remember playing UO and just kind of like looking over my shoulder and looking back in the game and being like, Brandon probably did that. Because Corey had it coming. Sorry, Corey. No. Corey had it coming.
Yeah.
After the subway incident. Okay. I want to know, because Meg, you brought up with the sleepover and having boys over.
Right.
I have a feeling we're going to have widely different answers. What was the status on having a friend over of the opposite sex? Like, could you go to your bedroom? If you went to the bedroom, were you able to shut the door?
We could go to the bedroom, but we couldn't shut the door. I would push it by keeping the door. You know what? I feel like there were certain friends that my parents were like, nothing's going to happen. And they didn't care.
Our dog's a total square.
I mean, you're not wrong, Tyler.
Sort of wrong. I'm first base wrong.
Well, no, boyfriends always door open, but like boys that were friends.
You mean like multiple boyfriends or said boyfriends?
No, okay. Like, no, not boys that were friends.
Because like if there were multiple boys, I totally understand them being like, you need to keep this door open.
Is she having another gang bang?
Keep the door open. If shit gets too intense, knock three times on the wall. We'll come in.
Very progressive.
Not quite that progressive. No. If I was in there with my boyfriend, the door always had to be open. But if it was just friends that were boys... Like, just a friend that was a boy,
yeah,
and we were listening to music or something like that, and I closed the door, they wouldn't care. Hmm. Yeah, I was the youngest of four. My parents were had me later in life, and by the time I was a teenager, they just didn't care about parenting anymore.
They had given up.
They were just like, we have done our time. When is she going to move out?
Tyler, what was the rule in your house? I'm just going to guess that it was maybe a little different.
If it was a girl that was a friend, yeah, I'd close the door. It didn't matter.
Really?
Wow. Girlfriend, which I had the same girlfriend all throughout high school, and that was generally like, she had stayed the night before. She just had to like sleep in a different room and generally like keep the door open or at least like cracked.
Damn, that is not the answer I expected at all.
At her house, it was a different ball game, but like my house, my parents were...
Did you have the Celica at this point?
Nope.
That I don't get it then.
So, and they were like co-ed sleepovers. Like, I never got to host one, and I guess they never really knew that I went to one, but we would have them. The first one, I think I was like a sophomore in high school, and Jerkit Jeff's parents let us have a co-ed sleepover. It was me, Jerkit Jeff, Brainy Gatsby, and... I don't even know what to call her. Running Southern... shit, I don't know. I don't know what... I've referred to her before as like...
Let's
one
just
of the
use
moms
her,
I go running
let's
with.
Let's just use her real name. First and last name. It's going to be fine. We're the next serial, remember? We can do that.
It's true. And it was just like the four of us. I remember we were supposed to sleep in different rooms, but I fell asleep on the floor in Jerkit Jeff's room when they were in the bed. So like they woke up and they were like freaked out, like, oh my God, are his parents going to be mad? And I just just woke up and like, nah, they're not even gonna know. And just kept playing like Final Fantasy VII. So,
but in high school, Josh and I had a friend whose mom just did not give a shit at all. Most of the time, she was never home. So we just basically set up her residence as our other home where we would just spend
the fuck house.
Friday through Sunday night. Like, that's where we were. So she was hardly ever there. Girls would stay the night, whatever.
Yeah, for me, it was never an issue because I didn't really date in high school, like, at all. And
you didn't want to, or you weren't allowed to?
No, I just didn't want to. I'm sure I would have been allowed to, but it was never
so many hot girls like Josh, and he did not give a fuck. Like water off a duck's back, he just like did not care.
Maybe that's
hot girls asking him to dances.
That's
he
why.
Just, like,
yeah,
that's
why that was Josh's game. Yeah. He's like, I'm gonna get through high school, and then by then, the hottest one will have asked me out. I'd be like, okay.
His game was too strong because they were thoroughly seduced, but nah.
So yeah, it was never an issue. The only times that we had co-ed sleepovers were at that friend's house, which yeah, it was by then, you know, it was just, hey mom, I'm going over so and so's house. Okay.
Skateboard.
Okay. Going over skateboard's house. Okay, have fun. And then I just leave out the part that there was going to be, you know, five or six girls there
that all wanted you.
Right.
I am blown away by, like, all these co-ed sleepovers. John Turley the Elder, please.
Oh, no, there was no place like that. I had no respite. And yeah, the door was always open.
No exception?
No.
Doesn't matter if it was just a girl who was a friend?
No. A girl who was a friend? I don't know. I had girls that were friends, but they didn't come and hang out at my house. If the girl was coming and hanging out at my house, she was probably my girlfriend. And yeah, that shit wasn't happening. So they were leaving the door open.
I had a really super annoying rule in my house when I was in middle school that I wasn't allowed to date or do anything date-like until I was out of middle school. I don't know why.
Well, my parents did that too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like, well, middle school is really important. That's where you have to focus all of your studies is middle school. I guess they were just worried I was going to get someone pregnant or something. But, like, I wanted to be like, look at me. It's not gonna, that's not going to happen.
I'm the pimpliest Jedi.
Yeah. Look at me. The worst that's going to happen is I'm going to hold a sweaty hand. It's going to be fine. So I guess, like, and then my sister was born when I was in middle school, and that's when they stopped giving a fuck about what I did, because in high school, I'd have girls over, no co-ed sleepovers. Man, that still blows my mind. But I'd have girls over. They were allowed in my room. The door could be shut. It was fine. And anytime that my mom or dad came to bother me, they would knock instead of opening the door.
Wow.
And that blew my mind. Because, like, the first time my mom knocked, I was like, I can get hand jobs in here.
popping sound of you pulling your hand away. What?
That's it. I like that. I felt like that was a good discussion. Even though, Tyler, you weren't able to tell your intro story that you texted me about.
I'll save it. It's fine. Okay. I had also stayed the night at my girlfriend's house a few times. Her dad was always adamantly opposed. I think only one time was he okay with it. Most of the time, her mom would, like, sneak me in through the basement window at night. And her mom slept in the basement, and her dad slept on the first floor.
What? Oh, this was a messed up household. Oh,
basement mom let you in.
Yeah, her mom would stay up all night long on, like, Yahoo chat rooms in the basement. And then her dad would go to work in the morning. She would sneak me in through the basement window. I would just sleep on her floor, and then once the dad left for work, then I could, like, go upstairs and hang out with my girlfriend.
Wow.
What'd that basement smell like?
a sad 50-year-old woman. Legend of Zelda?
Yeah. So, Legend of Zelda. That was a good one. Meg, thanks for sticking around for the intro.
Now Meg is like, I'm out.
Bye, Meg.
Never played it. Congratulations on the number one game.
Thanks, Meg.
Yeah, congrats, guys.
Thanks, yeah, Josh.
Indeed.
Thanks, John. How's it feel, Tyler? How's it feel to be at IGN's number one game?
About the same.
We're at the end.
Yeah.
We're at the end. This is the last episode. All right, it's the last time I tell that joke, I promise.
Yeah.
Yeah? You feel no different?
Not really. Also, I don't feel like... I feel like we've done so many... Like, I like this game. I love this game. Yeah. Grew up with it. I love it. I feel like we've done better games, so getting to this, like, it doesn't feel like it's number one for me, because I don't think it should be.
Man, I feel super, I'm
right
really
out of the gate.
Super excited that we're at the number one game.
Yeah.
I really, because, like, I honestly feel like between you and me, we haven't finished much. Like, if you add up all the things we've started and not finished, pretty big list.
That's true. We actually did this, though.
This is, like, unless John, we all get in John Turley's car right now and he drives us into oblivion, then.
No, well, I mean, you technically have done the episode. We did mention Legend of Zelda. So, I mean, you started this episode.
That's true.
Like, I mean, if you're worried about it, you can just, like, go ahead and close it out right now.
Yeah.
And then we can, like, pick it back up.
Yeah, just do the outro and just sample that back in.
Well, I think we just go missing, and then the mics keep running, and then eventually, like, 3 months, like, the Legend of Zelda or the Link to the Past never airs, and, like, cut to 3 months later. Phil Hawkins comes into Tadpog NX2 and starts, like, rummaging through Tadpog sound archives.
He treks Lewis and Clark style from Oregon all the way to Kentucky to these dilapidated ruins of the Tadpog Annex. And then, like Tupac, we keep releasing episodes years later. Holograms of us are doing episodes.
How's he going to find his way here? We're both Sacagawea. And we're missing.
Yeah, that's true. Man, it's gonna be a hard quest. Yeah, I'm sorry, Phil. That's a hard quest.
You're gonna have to have Emily Dickinson as your guide. It's gonna be a long, dark, convoluted journey.
Dark, dark Emily Dickinson, Nicole Nance.
Welcome to Tadpog, the show we do for Phil Hawkins.
Oh, shit.
So tell me about your experiences about the, with the game. Because I know you said that you played it a lot.
Yeah. Do we want to jump into that, or do you hear anything?
No, don't hear anything.
Okay. This game came out in 91. It was really my first full experience with Zelda. Like, I'd played the one for NES, but I didn't own it for NES when I had one. I played it at friends' houses and things like that. So, like, this was my first real venture into Zelda, which they're all pretty similar except for the second one. So, like, it wasn't old for me. This was, like, my very first experience, and I absolutely loved it. I used to play this game. During the summer, I would beat it every single day. I would get up early and play it all day long and beat it. I remember in a full week, I'd beaten it 7 times during the summer.
Damn. God, that fucking blows my mind. Because my experience with this game was I didn't play it when it came out. I played it. I literally beat it an hour ago. And I had a really hard time with it. Because as I was playing it, I was like, maybe if I was a kid and had like a whole lot of time, I could figure my way through this a lot. I mean, eventually, and not be like super frustrated where it's like, oh, that's how you get the manual to read the mud language.
Yeah. I have a pretty vivid memory of whenever I first discovered this game. This wasn't my first Zelda game because I had the original and Zelda 2 and all that. But I remember when I first discovered Link to the Past was I spent the night with Ashley Shake. This was back like late middle school, I think. And we're supposed to be like hanging out all day. I was going to spend the night. I picked up this game. He went off. He was doing something like in the bathroom or something. I put this game in, started playing it, did not stop playing until the next morning when my mom came to get me, like, came to pick me up.
He's probably still mad at you about it.
Probably. He's probably still
having
a grill.
So much fun, Josh.
But yeah, I didn't beat it, but I got really close to beating it just in one sitting.
That night?
Yeah. No, I stayed up all night. I got over there. Like, I went to his house. It was like a Friday after school or something. I just played it all day, all that afternoon, all night, until the wee hours of the morning when my mom came to get me. So,
John, what's your experience with the game?
None.
Good thing you're here then.
Yeah, I mean, you need important input.
I love you being here. You're like my good luck charm. You're my cloak of charisma plus 6. You just make it all better.
I played the first Legend of Zelda. That's pretty much it.
Because I feel like Legend of Zelda, the original Legend of Zelda, has a lot of similarities to this one, and I feel like when this came out, people were excited to go back to it because 2 is so dramatically different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which I love the second one, but I can see where it rubbed people the wrong way.
It's on our eventually list.
Yeah, and so come back to this one, so it's like the first one, but just, you know, improved upon. So I can see where people were super excited to play this.
I remember seeing it when I was a kid, and I clearly remember thinking, damn, that looks good. Because I was impressed by how it looked, especially because I played the NES version, and I remember how that looked. I mean, it doesn't look great.
I was blown away by the graphics whenever I first played it, too. Because, like, the intro, whenever it's raining outside, it's storming. Just the whole atmosphere.
I did get to see Dave play about halfway through, I guess, maybe the last level.
The last dungeon.
Yeah, and the graphics are a lot better than the original Zelda. Mm-hmm. And it looked to be quite a bit more complex with the whole inventory system, and it wasn't just bombs and you had plain arrows and stuff. Looks like you had a lot of different types of arrows you can use.
Yeah, they really did increase the amount of items you get in the game. As far as like challenging though, I don't think it was quite as challenging as the original Zelda. Original Zelda,
I don't know, dude.
It
pretty much
hard.
I don't know.
Original Zelda is pretty much just trial and error. Like you've got to, this game, if there's a wall that's bombable, It either has a crack on it,
right,
or you can hit it with your sword and it makes a different sound.
Right.
So you can you don't have to waste bombs just going through. The original Zelda, it was more Nintendo hard because you had a finite number of bombs. You go into a dungeon, this wall, you bomb it, doesn't work. You bomb this wall, doesn't work. You bomb this wall, finally you get one. If you run out of bombs, you've got to go and fight enemies until you get
more. I'm totally going to be that guy right now that everybody hates because somebody will complain about how hard a game is, and then somebody will be like, that game's not that hard. So I'm going to be that guy and say, I did not think the first Zelda was that challenging.
I don't either. I think A Link to the Past is more difficult.
Yeah.
Because I beat the original Legend of Zelda on the NES, and man, I am not sure I could have beat A Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo, like in a vacuum. I just don't think that I could have. I think I would have gotten, there are parts in the game where it's totally like, there's only one way to do something. And if you don't do it that one way, exactly, you're not progressing. It's just, it's not going to happen. And I think there are parts that I just would have gotten frustrated and been like, I'm going to play Jurassic Park.
Maybe. It is kind of hard for me to remember because I have played all these Zelda games so much. I have them down. I've memorized every little thing, all the little puzzles, whatnot. So it's kind of hard. I remember it as being more challenging because as a kid, I had to literally draw a map of the Zelda world.
I've seen these maps.
Yeah.
Do they exist still?
I don't know. Maybe.
Framed above your dining room table.
if you and your brother both work on these together.
Yeah. So there was
Nance collaboration. Yeah.
The only time it's ever happened.
No, not true. In Final Fantasy I, he would sit there with a calculator while I attacked enemies and he would count down their hit points for me.
Damn. So, that's pretty awesome. That's a rare older brother move, man. Yeah. That's like a little brother's job usually, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna play this game. Here's a calculator.
This is your job now. I understand what you're saying. I was a total cheater on the original Legend of Zelda. I got it. I remember getting it when I was a kid. I got it for my birthday. And I played it for a long time, and I never could completely beat the game. And then I got a Nintendo Power magazine that had a map.
Oh,
just
yeah.
The whole goddamn thing. It folded out like forever. I mean, it was like a 15-page fold-out map of just every world. And and it had all of the hidden doors and bushes you could burn.
Yeah, don't burn this bush. It'll cost you 30 rupees. Go over here where you get 100.
Yeah, how to get to the little island.
Man, I don't even have to. I remember my last playthrough of the original Zelda. I didn't even have to think about it. I just, like, my muscle memory, my thumbs just instinctively knew which bush to go to burn.
I can do Super Mario Brothers from muscle memory. I cannot do Zelda.
There's something that happened Nintendo did with Link to the Past that I love that we'll just never see it again. They couldn't do it with the original, and we're not going to see it in any future Zeldas. But only for this one, that Nintendo Power had that contest to get your name in the game.
Yeah,
the secret room.
Have you guys gotten to the room?
The Chris Houlihan room. Yes.
It's like it happens through like a glitch, right? Yeah. It's like where you get dumped when you do something that you're
if
not
you come
supposed
up
to
with
do.
Like a value, yeah, that you're not supposed to get. It automatically there are five different ways to get to this secret room, full of blue the blue rupees, and there'll be like one of the Sasserhalas. Five different ways, yeah. Like, I don't know, one, you can, it's like the Pegasus boots, you can dash into spaces before, like, they can load, and it automatically defaults you to this room and stuff like that. So, full of rupees and a Sasserhalas telepathic tile that'll say, I'm Chris Houlihan, this is my room, it's a secret, don't tell anybody. And what pisses me off is the Chris Houlihan room is in the GBA version, but there's no tile or anything that says it's the Chris Houlihan room.
Yeah, they took his name out.
That crappy. Fucking sucks.
I mean, hey, the contest probably clearly said Legend of Zelda Super Nintendo. Yeah. And speaking of Wikipedia, I do hear that now that everyone's giving me enough time to pull it up on my iPad. It's the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train. the last one that we'll do for the Super Nintendo, or at least IGN's maybe, list. Well, maybe,
because I want to do all the Super Nintendo games, the last one for IGN's list.
Oh, boy. I'm not going to commit to that.
It'll be Todd Pog with a two-sided coin, where I play all these shitty Super Nintendo games, and you just nod along.
Okay. So that's how you cast the reel.
Lord of the Rings, yeah, okay.
Okay, guys. The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, known as Zelda no Densetsu Kamigami no Triforce in Japanese, which translates to The Legend of Zelda, The Triforce of the Gods, is an action-adventure video game developed and published by Nintendo for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. It is the third installment of the Legend of Zelda series and was released in 1991 in Japan and 1992 in North America. And then they talk about the plot, which, I mean, it's a Zelda game. You go around.
Save the princess. You save collect the princess. Triforce pieces. Yeah.
Upgrade your sword.
Save the princess, yeah.
That's exactly verbatim what it says on Wikipedia. So, it was released
It's a paragraph that's been cut and paste to all the Zelda entries.
It was released to critical and commercial success. A Link to the Past was a landmark title for Nintendo and is widely considered today to be one of the greatest video games of all time. IGN certainly thinks so. A Link to the Past has sold over 4 million units worldwide and has been ported to both the Game Boy Advance with slight changes, like the name Drew, and the Virtual Console for the Wii and the Wii U.
Okay, so it's number one. I mean, I understand that it's more approachable than, say, Final Fantasy or a lot of those games. I do not think it's more approachable than Super Mario. That's why I still believe that Super Mario World should not be five. It should be one. But
here's the reasoning. This is what I think. I think that they were like, okay, we need the number one spot. It's got to be a Nintendo game. So I think that's what that was their first filter. They're like, okay, if it's not a Nintendo game, it's not up for number one.
Mm-hmm. But Mario is too obvious.
Exactly. Yeah. I think they were like, well, what should be number one? Super Mario World was like really good. Yeah, but that's obvious and was bundled with the console. So let's go with the other one. That's really good.
Okay.
I
would give this the second or third spot, to be totally honest. If I had to rewrite the list, this would be like probably two or three. I do think it's a fantastic, great game. I understand the mass appeal. I just don't think it's, I get it. It's a safe choice.
I'm not really upset that it's number one. Mm-hmm. It's not my number one. I don't know if I don't know where I would put it. We'll figure that out later. But it wouldn't be number one. I'm still really upset that Chrono Trigger's not number one.
Yeah, because I was going to say, so your number one would be Chrono Trigger.
100% without a doubt.
All right. And your number one.
Super Mario World.
And your number one.
Fuck, I don't know, man. I'm not going to commit to this.
Sunset Riders.
St. Zach English agrees. I catch so much shit from him about Sunset Riders. It's just like, randomly, I'll get a Facebook message about, I can't believe you don't like Sunset Riders.
An actual letter in the mail. Oh. All right, well, Link's Awakening didn't come in until like 93. Mm-hmm. So,
and I actually played Link's Awakening. I think you let me borrow Link's Awakening on Game Boy. I took it on vacation and beat it. But this was before I played Link to the Past. So they're very similar, mechanics-wise, game mechanics. They use a lot of the same items, some of the same bosses even.
Yes.
Right. I think Link's Awakening is a better game.
I 100% agree.
I think it is the best Zelda game to date.
It's the best one that I've played. And I haven't played as many as you have. Mm-hmm. But
I haven't played as many as Josh has.
What do you think, Josh? what is the best Zelda game?
I don't know. Oh, God.
Minish Cap. Probably Minish Cap.
Definitely Minish Cap.
Oracle of Seasons.
Spirit Tracks, obviously.
Spirit Tracks. See, I'd phase it out of my mind. I dislike that game so much.
I don't know, because the most recent one I played was the remake for on the Wii U for Wind Waker. Well, actually, no, the most recent one I played was Hyrule Warriors, but that's not on my favorite list. Mm-hmm. But
The Dynasty Warriors or the Zelda skin?
Okay. I'd forgotten how much I loved... fuck, dude, I love them all. Because I've forgotten how much I loved Wind Waker, playing Wind Waker. Ocarina of Time, I played through that recently again. The remake for the 3DS. And they just released, I think, Majora's Mask. Or you can pre-order them now, I think. But yeah,
Ocarina of Time was from the GameCube.
It was for N64. The 64. N64. Yeah, I think they did release it for the GameCube too. But yeah, fuck man, it'd be easier for me to pick out the ones I don't like, which are a few, like Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass. I don't think held up very well.
I liked Phantom Hourglass, but I did Spirit Tracks.
Phantom Hourglass. I remember when I got my, because that was a DS game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the first Zelda game released for the DS? Yep. I remember when I bought that, because I got my DS, I was super excited. I was like, man, you know what I haven't played in a while since Link's Awakening? A Zelda game. I'm going to buy this Zelda game. Put it in. Nope. Shut it. I was like, I'm selling this. I hated it.
Four Swords isn't a lot of fun.
It's not?
No. Oracle Season.
Zelda games than I really
Oracle Seasons of Oracle or Ages are just kind of like.
They're okay. They're not bad games.
They're poor. It's a clone of a. It's like Multiplicity clone of a clone of Link's Awakening. It's just not as good, but.
Man, anytime there's a Michael Keaton reference on this show, it makes me so happy.
I've got a really important question about Link to the Past. Why is Link's hair pink? Can anyone explain
that? That's a good question.
I mean, they had yellow in 1991, right?
No,
I didn't think so.
Yellow didn't come along to like 96. I think that's when yellow hit it big.
Yellow was patented by Sega.
until Pokemon Yellow with Pikachu, I don't think yellow was a thing.
Was it like his transition from like brown to yellow? Like was pink like his?
He gets a pretty fucked up wardrobe later on. Like whenever you get the like red mail.
The red mail.
He's got the red armor, tunic, I guess, and
the pink hair, the purple hat. Papa Smurf hat.
Yeah, and you got the mirror shield and the gold sword by the end of the game. Yeah, you're fucking rainbow of colors, man.
You're like a level 16 World of Warcraft character. Just all patchwork. You got your crazy fucking hair.
Yeah, I was so much happier, like, just visually with, like, all the second tier gear in Legend of Zelda. Like, I love the blue tunic. I love the Tempered Sword. God, I love the Tempered Sword. I think it is by far the coolest sword in the game. Just like it's all hot iron and it makes that deep whoosh whenever you swing it. Like I hated throwing it in that fucking pond to get the last sword. I was like, I don't want to let this go. And you don't have it long enough in my opinion. But
I just, I don't know. I like the whole like they make a big deal about the Master Sword. And I realize that that's the sword that continues to get upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
But it still just kind of seems like you go to this big deal of finding the Master Sword, and then they're like, you know what? It's actually not good enough. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, it's once you do it, make it better, it's still not good enough. We're going to need you to throw it in the lake.
Well, it's like in Okinara of Time. It's just like all the Masters of Ocarina. Ocarina. Ocarina.
Just cough while you say it.
Round biscuit flute of time.
It's a killer whale named Nina. Orca Nina of time.
Like, even the Master Sword in that game's like, you know what you need? Just a big fucking sword. And just get rid of your Master Sword, get the bigger sword that you have to use with two hands and just tears through everything in the game.
Yeah.
It's a broadsword.
Yeah. It's a great sword. The fucking big Goron makes for you. I think it's a knife.
It's like a knife to him.
Yeah. That is a pain in the ass to get.
It is a fucking killer quest.
In this game, the Tempered Sword and then the Golden Sword, I guess. Is that the official name of it?
Yeah. It is a golden sword. Yeah.
Those are pretty easy to get, I feel like, because you just got to reunite the blacksmiths to get the Tempered Sword.
Right.
And then you've got to it's an escort mission to get the big bomb to blow up that spot so you can talk to the fairy and get your golden sword. But
I think that the quest for the Master Sword, you're 100% right. Like, that's the big one. Mm-hmm. What threw me off when I was doing that is you get the Master Sword in the Lost Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is a cool visual because you're walking in that big clearing and all the animals are scattering away from you and there's just that sword there.
That whole area was actually one of those areas when I was a kid that I saw, I guess, in commercials or a friend playing it or something and being like, damn, that looks good because it has like that fog and
yeah, the overlaid. Whole Lost Woods. Because, yeah, you're in this dense forest with this fog and you see like patches of light shining through the forest. And then, yeah, you come into this clearing where the Master Sword is and it's clear. You know, there's no fog, lights beaming down. There are happy animals prancing uh-huh. about. Yeah.
You go there early. If you go they there part. Early, you can't understand the inscription on it because mm-hmm. it's in Medora
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, the Book of Medora.
Yeah. So I remember that. That was so cool when I got there as a kid.
Yeah. I've got another question for you, though. Why are there so many fucking swords in that forest?
Because it's like they're just everywhere. There's just some smith in there making fakes and just luring people.
They're just everywhere.
It's those thieves. Yeah. The thieves are want to take all your gold. So they're like, hey, here's a Master Sword. And I'll just put my house right beside it. I'm going to get out here. You can't kill me. You can only push me back just a little bit.
Those fucking thieves annoy the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. Is there anything you can do about them? Because like they just
you can
bump
hit
into
them,
you.
But yeah, you just knock them back.
They bump into you and like random items shoot out of you, mm-hmm. and they pick them up and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Well, you're a hero. You can't just they're humans. You can't just murder.
Oh,
them.
I guess you can't just kill the humans. That makes sense.
Well, okay, no, because you can kill the soldiers. They're humans. They're just.
Well, they've been tainted by the Ganon's darkness, though.
Okay. No, they're just animated suits of armor.
So because they're unwilling servants, you can kill the soldiers, but the Eves who choose willingly to do evil.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, so one big issue that I have with the game, and we talked about this briefly, Dave, like, I love the World of Light.
Yeah.
But you're hardly in it at all. You spend so much time in the dark world.
Oh, it's so
and
long.
The dark world is just like, I get that it's this twisted version where things have gone wrong,
right.
But I would rather there be like more give and take of having to travel between the two to do things as opposed to three quests here, eight quests there.
Yeah.
You know, trying to maneuver around just this more depressing world where I feel like it was more fun and vibrant in the light world.
But, yeah, I agree. I thought that the dark world. I get it. Like, it makes sense story-wise, because, like, all the maidens are there, and Princess Zelda is there. Mm-hmm. So, like, it makes sense that you got to go and save all of them in the dark world. But it's... I don't like it, because it felt like a cop-out to me. And that maybe that's because I was an adult when I played this game. And maybe it's because I'm kind of accustomed to Zelda's shtick, and that is, take what we already got and change it a little bit and make them do it again. Because some of the dungeons in the Dark World are not exactly like the same dungeons in the Light World, but they're really similar.
Yeah.
Like the layout is the same. And I get it. It's cool that it's a twisted take on something that's on the other side. But man, to me, it felt like, oh, okay, well, I got to do this again.
I feel like maybe the way I feel about Mother and Mother 2, I guess I sort of feel about like, Link to the Past and Link Between Worlds, because I love the way the 3DS Link Between Worlds did that, to where you're...
I haven't played it. I really want to.
I think it's fantastic.
That's
and the way you're having to go between 3D and 2D and between the two worlds and things like that, I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I think that's how that game should have been done. Like, I would have much preferred like rescuing the eight mains in the dark world that you had to go and change things in the light, the World of Light, to more reflect the things in the World of Dark and kept it as an active component.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Link Between Worlds, there is a better balance between it's Hyrule and Lowrule.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically the Light World and Dark World, and you're constantly going back and forth. So there's a better balance in that game than this. But yeah, you're right. There are, yeah, three dungeons you need to complete in the Light World, eight in the Dark World. But then
and they're
again,
all a lot longer.
Yeah. But then again, like, maybe I didn't notice it much because, like, once you're in the dungeon, you're in the dungeon. There is, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Really, because there's very, like, one or two dungeons, I think, may have a small section of that dungeon outside where you briefly go outside for a moment. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they're in. Yeah, it's all enclosed.
You mentioned that, so do you want to go ahead and talk about the Lost Woods dungeon?
Our least favorite dungeon and our favorite dungeon. We can do that.
All right, I like that.
Our least favorite dungeon, I know for me and you, Dave, it's the same. I imagine it's probably the same for Josh. So, but
Oh, it's definitely the Lost Woods.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely the Lost Woods.
Talking about like the Thieves side out, or
I'm talking about the one where it's in the dark world. I think it's like the third or fourth one.
I think it's called Skull Woods. And
Okay, yeah, you've got to go outside and like follow that.
Oh,
yeah.
My god, because it's like the section of the dungeon is standard dungeon, and then you have to leave the dungeon and navigate a maze.
Yeah.
Of forest, which that is fine, but it's like no one, like you just kind of have to like figure that out. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess the dungeon's not over. I guess I need to like walk around and find some way back in the dungeon. And then that happens like three or four times. Like if I realize the goal of that is to get you turned around and lost, but it worked too well on me because mm-hmm. I remember like just kind of setting the controller down on hour two. And was like, I might look up how to finish this dungeon because it was, you can't finish the dungeon within the dungeon. You have to leave a specific exit in the dungeon to enter a different entrance to the dungeon. And that's how you finish it.
And you're dealing with the hand that drops down and takes you back to the start.
Oh, fuck that.
So you're having to go through that shit the whole time. Yeah. So when you do find the right exit, boom, back to the start.
God, that fucking hand.
Yeah, that dungeon is pretty annoying, though. I think my least favorite dungeon, thankfully it is short, but it's, I think, Tower of Hera, is that the name of it? It's in the light world. It's the third.
Where you get the moon pearl.
Yeah, and it's just because of those fucking, I don't remember what they're called, but those fucking enemies that you can't kill with your sword. You've got to, like, knock them off, and they bump into you.
Oh,
and
they're
constantly...
Yeah.
I know they have them in other dungeons, but...
You talking about, like, the Helmasaur or whatever it is?
The octopi-looking enemies.
They just charge at you and, like, bump into you and knock you back off, off the platform or whatever you're standing on, so you can fall down to a lower level. And just the little puzzles with the switches, you know, you've got those little... pillar fences, things that raise up, you know, whenever you hit the orbs. I don't know. It didn't feel like that was, I don't know, I thought it was kind of a lazy way to make a puzzle, is to just put those switches in there.
Yeah.
Which I know they use them a lot throughout the game and a lot in other Zelda games, but.
That boss is one of my least favorite bosses.
Oh, my. I have him actually in my notes. because, Tyler, I think before we started doing this show, I for some reason like wanted to play A Link to the Past A Link to the Past because I never played it before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if we're gonna do Tadpog, I'm gonna get number one out of the way. And it was shortly after I fought that boss where it was like, guess I'm gonna save this for when we actually record it, because that motherfucker is just like, oh my, it sucks so fucking bad because he's like, you're fighting him on this like really tiny square, and it's just open air all around, and if you hit his head, you bounce back, and it's like you have to hit his tail, and if he hits you, you bounce back. So it's like, guess what? If you don't hit his tail every time, you're fighting him again, because you're falling off that ledge, you're climbing your ass back up those fucking stairs, and you're starting this again for the 18th time.
I think it's like 6 hits, and he gets progressively faster every time you hit him, and
he takes up like almost the entire platform because he's long. Oh, that fucking, he's like a turd worm. I hate him. I fucking hate that goddamn turd worm.
Once you pick up the trick to beating him, it goes a lot easier.
What's the trick?
You charge up your sword because you got that sword technique where you charge it up and you do the spin attack. Charge it up. If he hits you, your sword's pointed at him. So you bounce back a little bit, but you don't take damage. But the trick is to charge it up, let him go by you, which he will most of the time, or you can dodge out of the way a little bit. Once he's by you, release that spin attack. You'll do extra damage, so you don't have to hit him as many times. It's pretty much a guaranteed hit because he's running past you. So the only thing you can hit really is his tail. So
he was really easy for me on the second run through, where they do like a half-assed boss gauntlet. It's like the last dungeon, and they're like, here's 4 bosses you fought earlier. Because like I was expecting to get, like, I was like, oh shit, we're doing a boss gauntlet.
I'm doing 11 bosses. Yeah.
But they're just like, we're going to stop at the fucking giant turd worm because we know you loved him.
I really enjoyed all the Light World bosses. I thought were fun, except for that one, because I enjoyed like the bouncing knights and having to run and shoot your arrows and knock them back.
Yes.
The sandworms.
Yep.
I enjoyed because if you go and get the ice rod will take out a sandworm in like one or two hits. Mm-hmm. It's hard to aim because you have to get right on it. But I like that because I figured that out on my own.
Yeah.
That made me very pleased.
The same reason I like the silver arrows. When you fight them the second time, because they're one-shot kills on the bosses.
I didn't even know that. Okay.
I think except for Giant Turdworm, which I didn't even try, because I was like, there's no way I'm hitting that motherfucker's tail with an arrow.
I remember that's being one of my favorite parts of a Zelda game, is whenever you figure out something like that. Because I remember... I think it was in one of the last dungeons. I think it was Turtle Rock. Maybe it's when you first get the mirror shield. I remember figuring out this puzzle on my own, and I was just elated.
Yeah.
It's some like simple stupid trick or something. But you're on this.
I know what you're talking about.
You're on this like narrow corridor, and. Is it where the
door opens and closes?
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you just hold your sword out, you charge up your beam weapon or your spin attack, and you like
walk backwards.
Strafe. Yeah, yeah, you go sideways or backwards.
Because every time you turn towards the door that's open, it shuts, and then you turn away from it and it opens. And I'm pretty ashamed to admit it took me a while to figure out that that's what I needed to do to get out of the room. Because at first I was like, is the game glitched? And I think that's like, once I figured out how to do it, I stood back and I was like, I think that's like a big difference between being a kid and being an adult. Cause like, if that had happened to me when I was a kid, I think I would have been like, oh, this is a challenge. But as an adult, I was just ready to throw my hands up and be like, game's bugged. Did we talk about favorite dungeons? I know you mentioned it.
My favorite dungeon is the desert dungeon, like with the sandworms. Like I loved the whole getting the Book of Moodora and figuring that out, and like praying and making those circles rotate, going in and out. Like I enjoyed that whole dungeon very, very much.
Josh, what do you think?
I did enjoy the first two dungeons. I think they're the shortest and easiest. What is the? It's
bye, John.
You're
right
back.
I think Turtle Rock, I really like that. I think a lot of it had to do with
that door.
Yeah, figuring that out on my own.
I like to think, I love to imagine this scenario where like it's 11 o'clock at night and you are standing in your living room with a master sword just walking backwards through your doorways. And Nicole is like, what the fuck? I'm trying to watch Ghost Adventures, man. Knock it off.
Ashley Shake was the one who told me about this trick, but getting the magic powder and throwing them on those little pink floaties.
The anti-fairies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you telling me that trick when I was playing it. And that like comes in so fucking handy later in the game, where it's just like the dungeons are full of those fucking things.
Yeah, the magic powder. Do you find the secret guy that curses you?
Yeah. He's the same one in... Yeah, he's the same bat... person who's in Link's Awakening.
I don't know what he is, some kind of genie bat creature vampire thing, vampire genie. I don't know, but yeah, you throw the powder on
the blood fountain.
Yeah, and he curses you to, which is the same thing he does, I think, in Link's Awakening.
Yeah. Look at all those bombs you have to carry now.
But like when he did that to me, because I found him when he did that to me. I legit freaked out because your magic meter says 1/2.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, what the? No. Because I was going to like.
I'm going to put on this invisible cape and oh, now it's off.
Yeah. Okay. And then Tyler, you had to tell me, no, it's actually better. It's going to use half of your magic power instead of using your full magic power.
Oh, man, you mentioned the cape. That fucking cape was overpowered.
It was
like the Zephyr cape or something like that.
Just the invisible.
Invisible cape.
It was an invisible cape?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a cool... I love that where it was hidden, too. I just thought the whole thing was very, very cool.
Yeah, well, it depletes your magic power whenever you have it on.
Right.
So it's constantly draining your magic, but you disappear, and it's just a little shadow on the ground's all you see.
That's the first thing it does.
Yeah, but it makes you totally invincible.
Second thing it does. Third thing it does, just lets you walk through shit.
Yeah.
You just walk through walls. It is like, I think that this cape is single-handedly responsible for every 30-something guy who doesn't know the difference between invisible and invincible.
Because that, I mean, I feel like the cane of Bryna is supposed to be like the big deal item because, like, when you have it out, you're invincible. But it's not as good as the invisible cape because it costs way more magic. And I don't know. I feel like it had to have been a mistake to make it as the cape as powerful as it is.
I'm glad you brought up the cane because there's another one in the game that it's a really weird weapon that you get out of a big chest in a dungeon. Mm-hmm. The cane of Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
Which you use it, and it creates an orange block that you can push around and push onto three switches in the game.
Yeah, you know, it's only useful for, like, it's very specific parts of the game, and then that's...
My real big question is that a mistranslation? Like, is that, like, the cane of Somalia?
that's what I thought when I was young, too.
Solomon's cane?
That's probably it. I always thought Somalia. I was like, because Somalia was, like, a big... topic whenever I first started playing this game. So I was like, well, okay.
Because
I heard Linda Ellerbee mention that.
I know you've played it a lot, Tyler. Solomon's Key?
Solomon's Key.
Oh, yeah.
I've played it so much because, like, remember when I first got my Wii, I was so excited because, like, all these titles were supposed to be in the virtual console. And I was like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get Chrono Trigger and Mario RPG and Earthbound. I'm going to have a great time. And I get on, and the only games you can buy are Solomon's Key and, like, Bonk's Adventure. I was like, what the
fuck? See, I remember, like, getting in and being like, oh, sweet, Bonk's Adventure. Bye.
Well, see, I thought Bonk's Adventure I was kind of excited about because I was like, oh, I played that. I thought it was Adventure Island, and it is not.
No, it's not.
But no, Solomon's Key was actually it was actually a good mistake buy. I really enjoyed Solomon's Key for the most part.
But you conjure blocks in that game too, so maybe.
The bottles, trying to collect all four fucking bottles. Mm-hmm. I had no problem getting three bottles, but I remember it took me a few playthroughs to figure out how to get the fourth bottle.
Which is the fourth bottle?
The one you have to get that treasure chest that follows you around and have somebody unlock it for you.
Yeah.
That took me fucking forever.
I was pretty proud that I figured them all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty proud because it was like I remembered reading because that middle-aged guy who doesn't talk in the light world intrigued me when I played it because I was like, man, what is his story? And then, like, one of the NPCs in the game mentions him and says that he used to be a master locksmith. So when I found that chest, I was like, I get to go visit my old buddy outside the desert.
Old buddy who will follow you around if you throw a sign away.
Yeah. There is an amazing amount of blackmail in this game because it's like everyone is telling Link, here, I'll give you 300 rupees if you keep this secret. Please. And like the locksmith is like, please don't tell anybody who I am. It's like everyone is just like, please, man, just help me out and don't mention that we met or I did anything for you.
That's a very earthbound thing that the master locksmith just sets by himself in a desert, like that you have to just go there and ask him for a favor. Yeah. But I always played it to where, and it's not really it's not as economical, but I always ended up putting fairies in all the bottles. It's way better to go and actually fill it with potion.
Well, yeah, you don't have to worry about it. It's not something, because with a potion, you want to get down to as close to dying as you can. Yeah. But then it's dangerous. With a fairy, you don't have to worry about it because if you forget to heal up or anything, or if you just don't have time before you die, then. Fairy automatically sacrifices his life to revive you.
Man, that death scene. That's iconic when Link dies in that game. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's...
The little spin and then fall.
It's done so perfectly because it's like it's a throwback to the original, but it's got a new spin on it. And it with
new the spin.
with achievements. when you get to... when you see those new graphics, which I know is really ridiculous to say about a game that came out in 91, 92, but like it makes a big difference. And like seeing that fairy appear and you know, sprinkling fairy dust over your corpse and bring you back to life. I mean, it's kind of a treat. Like it feels good, right? It's like it's you get at least I get this little shot where it's like, oh yeah, that's right. I had a fairy. Thank God, because I don't want to start this dungeon over again.
I used to keep. Fairies. Like, I usually keep all fairies.
Josh actually used to keep fairies, yeah, fairies in his room.
Literal fairies. I usually reserved one for the good bee, just because I never wanted to use the good bee, but I usually kept it in a bottle, just because I went there, like, to that spot you find it. You want to capture it, so you you grab the bug net and capture it, and then I just left it there.
I didn't know what that was until Tyler told me the other night. He asked me if I found the queen bee, and I said, I do not know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the sparkly bee. Yeah.
It's a friendly bee that you just let go and it kills people?
Yeah, where you get the ice rod. If there's a statue of a fairy, you charge into it, and then the sparkly bee comes out of it. And then it basically... Buzz, buzz. Because you can unleash it, and it'll kill everything on that screen, and then come back to you. You can catch it again and put it back
in the bottle. Oh, it comes back? So it's reusable?
Yep.
Oh, that's fucking badass. Yeah, I keep one around, too.
They're in Link Between Worlds, too. You can actually... you can find it randomly, or you can buy it for, like, all your rupees. I think it's, like, 9,000 rupees or something ridiculous like that, but...
I'm glad you brought up all your rupees, because... Did you guys ever run out of money in this game?
Only after I bought the flippers.
Oh, yeah?
Getting that 500 for the flippers, then after that, money did not matter.
I mean, I bought plenty of blue potions because I rolled one blue, three fairies. And that blue is what I would use once those fairies were done, or in Turtle Rock where you have to have like a lot of magic. I remember getting to Turtle Rock, reading that fucking sign or... speaking to the elder and him saying, make sure you have a magic potion.
Going all the way back because you got to go all the way through
the light world.
Death Mountain.
Use the fucking flute to get to number two, which is the witch's hut. Walk into the witch's hut, buy the fucking thing, go all the fucking way back. I was pretty pissed. I was like, thanks, game. Thanks for not giving me a heads up, like, I don't know, in casual conversation with an NPC.
So, being an old guy who only played the original Zelda, what was the magic for? Like, I know you...
Different things. You got, like, magic rods, like the ice rod, fire rod. You know, you could freeze enemies. Okay. You could burn enemies.
And that used magic.
Yeah, yes. the cape, the magic cape, it made you invincible, but it drained your magic. Stuff like that. Okay. Magic powder, you could... do various things. The lantern provided light, stuff like that. That would all deplete your magic.
Okay.
You want to talk about some of the more differences between the SNES and the GBA? Because Ashley Shake very specifically asked us, like,
right.
I really would appreciate it if you talked about the differences. I'm like, okay, I guess some people might want to be interested in that.
And instead of being like, Shake, we only do this show for Phil Hawkins. We humor
them. Well, the difference between the GBA and this one, I think the major one is the crystal it's in color. Room. This is...
Hey, check out the big brain on Josh.
Because, like, let's see. They other than the Chris Houlihan room, and then they just fixed a lot of the graphics. Like, there's at one point in, I think, the first dungeon in the Dark World, where in rooms where you only have your lantern, and you'll see that there are enemies that shoot fireballs. And you still see the fireballs in the dark... whenever they're shooting them in the GBA version, you can't see anything outside that your lantern.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That is bullshit.
Yeah.
What is dark fire?
And then there are, like, I think more terrain is destructible with more weapons. So you can use, like, your hammer to take out bushes and a lot of other stuff.
Interesting.
Terrain's more destructible. There are some different sound effects.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a pretty solid translation.
Do they take out all the anal sex references?
Yeah, yeah, okay. all the Christian overtones and anal sex references. Do you guys have any achievements, or is there something else?
I've got one more thing.
Okay,
and it does refer back to my last statement about anal references.
Okay,
there is a shop in the game where you go and get rumors. I believe it's called a rumor shop, where a black mage in all one colored unitard,
like the gypsy or with the crystal ball,
tells gives you a hint. which I used religiously because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Oh, I had to think about what you were talking about because I never ever used it.
The sign on this shop is Goatsy.
Oh man, I wish you did not say that.
Can't unsee.
Yeah,
it is Goatsy because I remember I never played this game as a kid, so I'm walking around. Dun, 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 dun. The fuck is Goatsy doing on this side? I went in the shop. I was like, what's this shop all about?
You went in, you see Goatsy, and your first instinct is to go in.
Well, yeah, man. I gotta,
he's opening up. It's only proper.
I got a fucking podcast to do. Of course I'm going to the Goatsy store. But it's just a lame-ass black mage in there wanting to tell me rumors. Achievements. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I did not mean to cut you off. The Goatsy sign had to be said, though. I do have achievements for this game.
I've got one achievement.
Josh, what you got?
Okay. My achievement is all about that bass. You unlock all about that bass by finding the fat fairy.
Yeah, the fat fairy. Who doesn't even like... I love it because it's like this. It's like just one-off. It's like you never see that fairy again, not in the credits or anything. Because I was in the credits, I was like, "Man, I wonder if they're going to mention the fat fairy."
Nope. Nope.
Well, I think the fat fairy is the mother fairy. She's she's trapped there, and her dark world version is just that.
I thought Ganon cursed her, she's inside. She's big and fat.
Yeah. So normally, okay, everyone who goes into the dark world, whoever they are. On the inside is reflected. So that's why when criminals want to go there to steal the gold, wherever they go there, they turn into the monsters that fill the world.
Yeah.
Except for Link turns into a pink rabbit.
Right.
Unless you have the moon pearl, which lets him keep his normal state.
Yeah, because you can't fight in your rabbit form.
You can make it all the way to the first dungeon as Rabbit Link, but the monkey won't talk to you if you're Rabbit Link. So that's where it stops. So you guys... If we were to suddenly go to the dark world, what are your dark world reflections?
I guess like a sex monster. I'm going to go with sex monster.
Just like a tentacle monster.
They were both
like
Sacagawea sex monsters. Water elemental Sacagawea sex monsters.
So if anyone wants to put us in an RPG, there you go. John Charlie. What would you be in Dark World?
This is basically your spirit animal, right? Is
that your dark twisted spirit animal.
Man, I don't think I have an answer. I think you pretty much covered it.
Well, all sex monsters.
An angry all sex right. monster.
We're just different degrees of sex monster.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible sex monster. John, you're an angry sex monster. I'm the goes into a shop with a Goatsy sign kind of sex monster.
I'm like that guy that has the horn on his head kicking around that blob, only it's like a dick on my head. And I'm I'm that sex monster. I've got three achievements.
Holy shit, a tadpog first, unless John Turley's got...
You have the most?
Oh, yeah.
What right, you got? I'll go next then. I've got dildos make me Thor.
Sex monster. Classic sex monster move.
And I don't have a lisp. I meant Thor as in the God of Thunder. Smack down 100 of those pegs with the magic hammer.
Nice. Achievement.
The next one being fairies are people too. Never trap a fairy in a bottle during the course of the game. And bugs are reverse magic. And you unlock bugs are reverse magic by whenever you fight Aghanim before you get to the Dark World. He's the dark wizard that is trying to bring back Ganon. You have to he throws magic at you and you have to reflect it back at him.
Right.
Like normally your sword can do this. And that's the easiest, you know, most sensible way to do it. You can also do it with the bug catching net.
Really? That's fucking cool.
It is much harder to do.
Oh, man.
So bugs are reverse magic because bug catches, you know, you catch magic.
You're right.
You catch the bugs, but you reflect magic. So bugs are reverse magic. Defeat Aghanim with a bug catching net.
There is kind of a throwback to that in Skyward Sword because that you're fighting the final boss.
Yeah.
If you pull out the bug catching net in it, he like stares at it intently, and you can move it around. It is the only item that'll do that. His like eyes and head will follow the bug net. So he's like, this is big fucking on fire demon with his huge sword like coming at you, and he's like intently looking at this bug catching net. It's a pretty cool little Easter egg there. So, but yeah, it's because of Link's Awakening or Link to the Past.
Awesome.
Right? That they did that. So I think it was it originally a glitch, or did they intend to do that?
I have no idea.
I hope they intended to, because it's like field hockey or something, like catching the Madden ball and just winging it back at them.
Well, because Shake, whenever I played this, Shake was like, man, this part of the game is so hard because you have to use the bug catching net. So like I watch him do it and he's like, it takes him forever because like, it goes in that circle, so you have to be, your timing has to be perfect, otherwise you just knock it way to the side.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, it's magic. I don't know why the bug catching net. It's like, it hurts him, but it's what you got to use.
I've got a bunch. You guys ready?
Yeah.
You want to do a part two? When I just read achievements?
Just achievements.
First achievement I have, Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame is going to love this one when he gets to it in 5 years, because he's a big fan of the movie Monty Python, The Holy Grail.
Not funny.
This achievement is called We Are the Knights Who Say Knee.
All right.
And in order to unlock We Are the Knights Who Say Knee, you need to find a shrubbery, carry it to a knight, and throw it at him.
That's really good.
The second achievement I have, I kind of played around with the name, and then I just went for like the generic one. There must be some kind of misunderstanding. And in order to unlock There Must Be Some Kind of Misunderstanding, you always choose not at all when asked if you understand. There are several points in the game when you rescue a maiden or a princess or something really big happens. At the end, the person you're talking to asks you, do you understand?
God, that fucking owl and
Oh my God.
Now I'm unfamiliar.
Okay, in Ocarina of Time, after you beat the first dungeon, exit the forest, you come out and you're all of a sudden this owl comes down, lands on the branch, and he starts explaining things to you. And it's huge, like page after page after page of dialogue.
It's 10 minutes of just like scrolling.
So of course you're just hitting the button, just trying to get through it. And at the end, it gives you two choices. And it's like yes or no. And you forget what he asked. It's like, did you not want me to not maybe repeat myself, perhaps? And so you have no fucking idea how to answer it.
And you're like, I got a fucking bug net.
The automatic, response, the default one, if you're just spamming the button, it has him repeat it.
Yeah, isn't it like in every other part of the game, like, the yes response is the top one.
Yeah.
And the no response, but this guy, they're flip-flopped. So,
God, so frustrating.
Third achievement I have is Kryptonite in a Bottle. In order to unlock Kryptonite in a Bottle, you catch the very dangerous and extremely allergic to Dave, B.
And place it in a bottle. To Dave. Anytime Dave hits a B, they automatically die. They're allergic to Dave.
The first time I used the Pegasus boots to dash into a tree and it erupts into bees, I legitimately freaked out because, like, I did not know what the fuck was going on. And, like, I totally, like, stood there for at least 2 seconds trying to, like, figure out what was happening. And then I was like, it's like fucking, is it Tommy Boy? Bees! And Nikki's like, what the fuck are you screaming about? It's fucking bees on the screen. I've got an achievement called Homebody. In order to unlock Homebody, you never leave Link's house in the beginning of the game. Because Link's uncle leaves and tells you to stay home. Mm-hmm. So I did that for 4 hours while I took care of Henry. Came back, my uncle wasn't there telling me how good of a boy I was. So I figured like I'd earn something.
If you had just gotten to him sooner, man, you could have saved his life.
He comes back in the end. Spoilers. I got another achievement, guys, called Zora the Explorer. And in order to unlock Zora the Explorer, you need to use the flippers to travel from one whirlpool to another whirlpool.
Okay. That thing I never did once I was told I could do it.
I've got another achievement, guys, called Now You're Playing with Power. My voice is cracking because this list is so long. In order to unlock Now You're Playing with Power, you need to find the power glove,
yeah.
Which I thought was really cool when I found that in the game. Because I was like, Nintendo, doing a callback. My last achievement is Silly Rabbit, Tricks Are for Kids. In order to unlock Silly Rabbit, Tricks Are for Kids, you must never be transformed into a rabbit in the dark world, in any dark world dungeon. Because there are things, they're like these little skull jugs that you can pick up. And sometimes there's hearts there. Sometimes it's arrows or bombs. Sometimes it's just whirling magic that chases you around the screen. And when it hits you, you turn into your rabbit form.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that completely.
Like permanently? Or
no, just long enough for a fucking monster to come up and bite you on the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Man, I have had fun.
Yeah?
Dude, I have. Oh, God. I feel like we really brought it for this. IGN's number one Super Nintendo game. If anyone has any complaints whatsoever, we will blame it on Josh or John.
Are you recording?
No.
Oh, fuck.
We've just been talking about Zelda. Jay, Josh, you want to come over and talk about Zelda? Yeah. Put on these headphones. All right.
But Tyler, if you were to give this game a beard, a very important question I have for you, what kind of beard would you give it?
Because I feel like essentially Zelda is just, with all this equipment that you go in, like you just go in with just basically just your sword and you collect all this other equipment, go into all these different terrains, you're just trying to survive. It's a story about going to the unknown and surviving. So I give it Bear Grylls survival beard.
Okay, that's pretty good. You might regret that when we get to Don't Starve.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've got another important question for you. Mm-hmm. And this is, what kind of glasses would you give this game?
This, I had to think about this for a long time because I wanted to keep going on the survival angle. So I was like, glasses for survival, what am I going to do? So what the only thing I could come up with is I have to give this Boone's glasses from Fallout New Vegas. Because Fallout New Vegas is also a game about survival and making it and going on an adventure. And Boone is one hell of a survivalist. So it's Boone's aviator sunglasses.
Burning more, don't starve bridges. I love it.
Has anybody seen the realistic Zelda equipment? Like it's a it's somebody
another
drew,
picture. Yeah,
drew a picture of Link carrying around like all of his actual equipment, because you know you pick up all this ridiculous equipment.
You got no bag of holding.
You've got you've got a ladder and a raft and you know the shield and sword and bows and arrows and all kinds of magical equipment. Yeah, and he's like carrying and it looks like the whatever that creature is on Labyrinth that's just carrying around everything it owns. Yeah,
the hag or whatever. Yeah.
Looks just like that, just him carrying around this enormous, ridiculous amount of equipment.
How many bombs can you carry? Just bombs?
Like you can upgrade it to 50, I think, right? Yeah. And then your arrows can go up to,
because you do that by donating rupees right. in the light world or that one shrine.
You just go, like, throw just handfuls of you make it rain at the fairy fountain just over and over.
By the way, what's up, Internet? I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. All right, there. I just had to say it. Pretty sure I forgot at the very beginning of the show.
Wow.
I got another important question. This one's for everybody. Mm. What I want to know is, how much is this game on Amazon? And what I want to know is, if you were to go on Amazon right now and buy this game used, how much do you think you would pay for it?
$32.
$32 from Tyler. Tadpog sweetheart, Josh Nance, what do you say?
Used? I'm going to go $90.
$90 from Josh. Burger Bottom, John Turley. Sorry, John Turley the Elder.
All right. Well, this was a wildly popular game, right? I mean,
yes.
They said it sold like
4 million.
4 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm gonna say $22.
$22 from John Turley.
How much do you say, Dave?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I could just read this number off the screen. Actual retail value of The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo, used on Amazon at the time of this recording, is $38. Tyler, I believe you take it with 32. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Anybody have a guess how much this game is new on Amazon?
Man, you're sitting on like $30 right over there, Tyler.
I know. $600.
$600, Josh?
I'm going to go $300.
$300, John?
$400.
Actual retail value is $342.99.
Nice.
So, Josh, you share the smaller victory.
Mm-hmm. We have any Zelda-specific calls?
Wow, that's a weird question to ask.
I know it is, isn't it?
I guess maybe. I mean, I could check. Let's see. No, we don't.
Okay. I'm going to ask that every episode.
Oh, here's one. It's like we expected it or something. Weird. Weird how it came up organically.
What's up, Tyler and Dave? It's Link calling in from Wisconsin, congratulating you guys on reaching the number one game on IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo Entertainment System games. And I just wanted to say that you guys have officially unlocked the achievement 100% complete. Congratulations again. And speaking of 100% complete, The Legend of Zelda was the first game that I thought about that I had to get 100% on. I was never satisfied until I did that. I spent more time with this game than any other Super Nintendo game I ever played. So can't wait for the episode to come out. Once again, congratulations, guys, and keep up the awesome work.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you, Kevin Link.
Yeah. Well, we can't keep up the good work because this is our last episode.
Because we haven't heard from Kevin Link.
Last time.
I lied. I'm a horrible sex monster, John Turley. What do you expect from me?
Because they haven't seen Kevin Link since number 89, Super Bomberman Man 2.
I'm glad you remember the episode.
And he really wanted to be on this episode.
That
because
was 14 years ago.
We were but young lads.
I was 22 when you guys recorded that.
Because, I mean, Kevin Link, it's in his name. It's his favorite game. He even has, like, I don't know, he has an impressive tattoo. If I can find it, I'll put it in the show.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. Shield on the back of his calf.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry he couldn't make it down. I know he wanted to.
Yeah, I remember
the back of the calf as a way to show off whatever you're into. I saw a guy at Taco John's one time with a Klingon emblem tattooed on the back of his calf.
It's better than a monster M on the back.
Yeah, definitely.
The back of the calf, man, that's perfect for like what
you're
professional
shorts,
situation
so.
Are you going to be in shorts, I guess, right?
I guess so. I never wear shorts. So.
I don't either. No, I don't either.
Neither does Josh. I think Josh Nance is wearing shorts since pre-puberty, since he was actually in short pants.
I don't remember the last time. I don't even own a pair of shorts. I don't remember the last time I did. So
I have swimming trunks.
Yeah, you I've know. Got swimming trunks.
Swimming
too,
trunks
yeah.
are the only shorts I ever wear.
Josh also swims in khakis.
It's just it's
really sexy to see him at Venture River just in a pair of khaki pants. It's just wet and shirtless.
He swims in capris.
It's right? That full bodysuit, that full body swimming suit.
Carpries. Oh, it's Carpries. Yes, thank you, John.
I remember seeing you, John Turley, in shorts once. And it was when we decided to like run a mile.
Pull our dick out. My God. I remember that.
Where we're like, you know what? We smoke like a pack a day and haven't exercised in a long time. Let's change our lives and run a mile today. And then like
that sounds so unlike both of you. I think you're lying to me right now.
Yeah, no. And then it happened.
And then we get our little shorts on and then like come outside. And then we start running, and we're, like, at a good pace. We're just, you know, we're just pacing ourselves, and then our fucking competitive ass sex monster natures get the better of us. And John's like, I'm gonna move a little ahead. I'm like, fuck you, I'm gonna move a little ahead too. It's like, cut to us like sprinting the mile. And then like we get back to the apartment, and it's like we both need to use the bathroom because we need to vomit. And I, John gets to the bathroom, bad. And I just stand in the backyard, just vomiting for like 3 minutes. And then Jai came out of the bathroom. I came back in from outside. We met in the living room. It's like, we're never doing that again.
No.
And we sat down and played the Naruto fighting game.
See,
it ate Oreos. It smoked more cigarettes.
See, Josh tries to do that with me when we run. If Josh starts going faster, it's just like, all right, man, I'll see you in half an hour when I finish this mile.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, anytime I play this game, I feel like I have to complete it as well. I've got to do get all the heart containers, all the magic items. Yeah, you like that segue? Yeah.
I just, no, I'm giggling because I don't even know how we got on shorts. Like, you're talking and I'm doing this, like, mental, like, quantum leap where it's just like, okay, yeah. We were talking about
shorts. The back of the calf. Back of the calf tattoo.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Yeah. We're done with number one.
Yeah. Last episode.
I guess because we're still, I guess really what we'll probably do, what is do the eventually list.
I'm going to relax all this time off.
We're actually recording two different episodes. This is the last episode if Dave dies.
In the horror episode, right.
We're going to air the other episode if he survives going home.
That episode is all just like, Dave's totally fine, guys. Don't worry. He's fine. Everything's cool.
Dave's fine. Don't worry about Dave. He's over here across from me. Nothing bad happened to Dave. Today. It's just, I mean, don't, Dave, I really want to talk the more in this episode, so if you could do me a favor and just be quiet for a little while.
Please, everyone, ignore the Craigslist posting. Looking for a guy who sounds like this. Need him before next Tuesday.
If you died, I would buy a pair of those huge comical sunglasses, put them on that Christmas tree, and just talk to it for a while. I'd put that graphic designer hoodie I bought you on it, and the glasses, and that'd be it.
Sorry, I'm going to shift gears on you pretty hard
here. I can't believe that.
How many 5-star reviews?
Oh, man. How do we not bring this up?
Yeah.
We're at 101.
It's like podcasting 100. Magic. I did not think we'd get to 100 before we ended IGN's list. Bam, 101.
It's like Christmas, guys.
I know. We have one more review than there are games on IGN's list. So we beat IGN.
That's because we have 100 5-star reviews and 1 3-star review. So for every Super Nintendo game we've done, we have a 5-star review.
That's true. I forgot about that.
And for all the other Ship Mondays, we have a 3-star review. Oh, man. So thank Tadpog Nation. Thank you for coming through and making my IGN wish come true.
You're just encouraging him.
I love it.
The next number. Who knows what the next number is going to be?
Yeah.
You'll never meet Tyler's iTunes review quota.
Well, if we get one per Super Nintendo game, I want to do all Super Nintendo games. So we need like about 700 something 5-star iTunes reviews. Which if we hit like Mabim Bam status, then we're good.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
How many fake accounts for 5-star reviews can Phil Hawkins make so he can get – because we cater this show to him. So if he can make 700 different accounts.
Just let us know what you
can do. Open 700 different lines of credit so he can make 700 different accounts. Oh, shit. Thanks for listening, everybody. Well, thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
We're glad that you could be here for this last episode.
It's monumental episode.
Yeah, because as of what's next, we'll probably do one more show. We'll probably talk about the list. We might do some kind of celebratory episode before we try to figure out what we're going to do, if anything, Dave.
Yeah, you and the Christmas tree are going to do that. The Christmas tree with the comical sunglasses.
I hate to kind of put you guys on the spot, but I would really like
to get... We totally wouldn't deserve that, by the way. If you were to do that, nah.
I would really like to get at least a top 10 from each of you.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe next episode you guys could deliver a top 10.
That's not putting them on the spot. That's not putting them on the spot.
It's like, it's do like, a top 10 right now.
In alphabetical order. I don't know why it's not numerical order.
Fuck numerical. I like the alphabetical order. So you're like, all right, number 8.
That great Aardvark game we all remember.
Remember that RPG about Armand de Sante?
Wow. Armand de Sante. Holy shit. Yeah, put that in the show notes. Nobody's going to know what the fuck that is.
I only know because it's in the Santa Claus. Because that's the first name on his list that he's checking off good and bad.
Tim Allen coming through for us again. Wow. It's another Tadpog miracle.
Please get Tim Allen on the show.
Oh, man. I would love to.
I brought it up to Dave about doing our top tens, but last time we did our own reordering, Tyler and Dave Philip Mass was what was born, and that's not.
Yeah,
it's not the episode you want to end up with.
That's what I'm saying. Next episode,
but I don't know how doing the top 10 is going to be any better than us doing the bottom 10.
Well, bottom 25. I think maybe it's like, don't have a list where you just read off 25 games and then don't really argue with each other on it. Just kind of be like, okay, I can see that. I should listen to this episode. And then not even counting correctly. It's like the top 25 games. I have 24 here, 26 games. How is this? What manner of sorcery is this?
It's the worst fucking episode in podcast history. I've been so tempted to just like pull that one off the server.
No. I think you need to tell everybody what episode that is so they can go back and listen.
I'm going to link it in the show notes, but still.
It's like episode 26.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and sometime in February, SoundCloud. Even though we have 101 right now. We still love these 5-star iTunes.
We can't just take a day off. We can't just revel in our 101 reviews.
No. I don't know what my next goal that's going to make me feel good about myself again. I'll figure it out. But still, it still gives you some control over the show. Yeah. Because write a written review.
Yeah.
And in that written review, include a game you want us to play. We're probably going to be hitting some of that eventually list pretty hard pretty soon. If there's a guest you want on a certain episode just let us know. And whatever you put in that 5-star review, we promise we will get to it eventually.
I don't know how though, because this is the last episode.
eventually. After you die, like... After you die and this Cuba-like embargo of episodes lifts, then I'll keep going.
I'm making a will right now that says, when I die, Tadpog dies. Bury me with my podcast. Lock Tyler out. You can't replace
me. Or lock
me
in with you that way.
Tadpog NX2 has to have two keys, like turn simultaneously.
You can't replace me with a damn tree, Tyler.
No, Dave's gravesite is like a mausoleum that's like an Addams Family Values vault. And inside is like this whole treasure trove of puzzles and traps to get all of the Tadpog fortunes.
God, I wish I had a lot of money.
Sorry.
I would totally do that.
Christina Ricci.
Black Snake Moan. Show notes.
Yeah, Christina Ricci.
Like Tyler said, thanks for listening. We'll be back. I was just kidding around earlier, saying it was the last episode.
Oh man, I was worried.
I was just fucking with you. I'm glad you didn't fall for it though. You're still listening, so you're one of the smart ones. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. It's where the show notes live. We'll have that Black Snake Moan link. Don't watch it at work. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Look for the episode post there and let us know what you thought about this episode. I feel pretty strong. Usually about this time in the show, I'm like, thanks for making it this far into the show. But man, I think we did. I think Link would be proud. I do. I think Link would be proud. You can find us also on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who retweets, particularly our episode posts, because that helps spread the word, and we really love that. We're going to be on SoundCloud, like Tyler said. Just wait till February, unless we forget, and then we'll make March SoundCloud month.
Every time there's a bracket in March Madness victory, we'll upload an episode.
You can call us if you want. If you want to be cool, like Link, and give us a call, feel free to dial 270-883-2555.
I really think Link missed a golden opportunity to call in and leave a...
That's his horrible sex monster noise. I think that's all I got. Do I normally say more stuff?
You did Tadpog on the podcast, the phone number.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't even do that fucking phone number.
Yeah. I guess we just need to ask, it's like Josh, our theme song.
Is this a trick question?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a trick question.
Is it?
Is it?
No, it is not a trick question.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
John, our theme song. Who is it by? What is it? Who is it by?
Wow, you changed it up.
Yeah.
I believe it's...
It's not a trick question. I figured that much out.
It's by Sycamore Drive.
Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. He's answering them in the order that they were given.
I think it's Moves.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, that's right. Correct. Josh couldn't answer it, but man, glad
you did. My question was different. My question was, is it a trick question?
Oh, well, yeah, you're right.
No, you asked, is it a trick question?
So I asked my own, I answered my own question. <I don't know. laughs>
Typical charge the sword, walk backwards to the door logic.
Where can you find some of that music?
You can find a link to that track in the show notes at tadpog.com.
How do you want to close out this number one show?
I think we should leave it up to Josh, since we normally like default to the Josh voice. Mm-hmm. So Josh,
let's do the Link voice.
Okay. All right. We all pick our favorite iteration of Link. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. So until next time.
Come on. I'm the only one who did it. Really?
That's the end of the show.
Excuse me, princess.
That was mine, too.
Man, I don't know any of the Link voices.
Tropical Capricorn.
Just do the Link voice of the Link who called us. You know that one.
Barely.
1 That's what it seems like. They always
Mohawk having 2 sizes too small t-shirt wearing, and he's always like...
It's the Ed Hardy t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. He's always got some fucking tribal design on it. And he's like, he wants to like confront the ghost, you know? He's like the fucking alpha
Come at
man.
Me, bro.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, come at me. You want to hurt somebody?
Does he really?
Yes, yeah. He does this shit. I swear to God.
They were in a prison once, and they're trying to contact...
Not like, hunting this, ghosts.
This like murderer rapist ghost is like, you want to come rape me, bro?
What's Nicole's reaction? Like, is she just glued to the television? Yeah. Like, I think this ghost is going to rape this guy.
She'll be like just cross-stitching, just eyes glued to the TV screen. Just...